All right. Well, hello, Searchlight Ministries. Glad you're able to tune in. And isn't it wonderful that we have technology? For those of you, if you don't know what's going on, I'm sure by now it's been announced at least once or twice. Heather and I have come down with a positive case of coronavirus. We got tested on Friday, and so we made arrangements so that we could just simply still bring you the Word of God through this video, or you might be listening through an audio. And again, hopefully there'll still be a time for you to grow in God's Word and still receive nourishment from Him, as well as having the opportunity to still worship. First off, I just want to say thank you to everyone for your prayers, and also a huge thank you to all the people that especially do a lot of work behind the scenes in the band, as kind of everything got thrown up in the air and people are just stepping up and saying, hey, what needs to be done? So I want to say thank you to all of you for that. So today we're actually going to be covering, we're stepping away from the book of Acts and we're going into a brand new book called Haggai. And so if you have a Bible, you definitely should start turning there. It is the third to the last book of the Bible. Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi are the last three books in the Old Testament. I'm going to give you some background information a little bit. Why don't we open up in a word of prayer while you're turning to Haggai chapter 1. Lord, we know that you are the one that is in control of all things, and that you have plans, and that you love and you care for your people. And we pray, Lord, for those again, who are suffering and still struggling, especially with coronavirus. We pray that you would give them health and vitality. We pray for those who've lost loved ones. We pray also for all of the people who have been impacted, which is pretty much everybody, in all of the craziness that comes with this pandemic. But Lord, we know that you are still in control and that you still have a plan and a purpose for all of us. So we ask for your wisdom and enlightenment as we grow in your knowledge. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It was, I don't know how many years ago, when Heather and I embarked on a journey in order to add some square footage to our house. As the boys were getting bigger, we realized we had really one of two options. One of three options. We could have continued on the path and have the kids absolutely hate each other because we were crammed into this house. Or we could maybe sell the house and move to a slightly larger house. Or we could find a way to maybe add on to our existing house. Thankfully, with support from people like Mark Lehman, who helped out in getting a lot of stuff done, and also to my dad, who helped finance a lot of this, we decided to add on to our existing house here. And I remember when we started the demo process to it, and our living arrangements had been messed up, and Heather and I were sleeping in the front room, and the boys were sleeping in the living room, and it was just a constant mess here at the house for I don't know how long. And I remember that pretty much every moment that we had in our lives, anything that was free, we were spending on doing stuff for the house, whether that was finishing up something or doing some other things or cleaning or reorganizing. I mean, there was always projects happening during this time of remodel. And I remember that went on for quite a while until one day Heather came to me on a Saturday. It was an open Saturday. It was really exciting. We were going to be able to get a lot of stuff done in the house. And she came to me and she said, Mark, I need to take a day and not work on the house. We have been working on this nonstop and it's killing me. And I'm going to the beach and I'm taking the boys and I'd love it if you came along. And I was like, oh, wow, what a crazy concept. Actually not working on the house and going and spending some time as a family. So we went ahead and I said, sounds good. We'll take this day and then take it for ourselves and then return back to the house at another time. And after we went, we never came back and finished up the projects for years. We would laugh about how as the years would go on, we would see all these things that were not quite finished. We would see blue painter's tape still stuck to hinges because we needed to paint around some door frames. We still had flooring and baseboards that had yet to be installed. We had outdoor patios where bricks had yet to be finally laid. It was all the like the little tiny ticky-tacky stuff that needed to be done. We had finished with the major stuff, the major additions, and we were about 80% done. But for several years, we lived with unfinished business. And let me tell you, it got really easy to live with it. You just say, oh, yep, there it is. That's something we haven't finished up yet. And we just got used to it. And in fact, when free time came about and there were other projects, we would often spend it doing other things as opposed to finishing up the projects that we had already had in place. Now, I don't know about you. I happen to be a master of that. I personally hate the final details. I personally hate like the cleanup process. I like the big stuff, getting the big things done, which is why I was primed and ready to just simply never get this project done. Well, this is kind of what was happening with the Jewish nation at the time of Haggai. So let me give you a little bit of background before we go into Haggai chapter 1, because it's going to help you understand a little bit more about what it means to have unfinished business. The Jewish temple had been destroyed in 586 at the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, and the Israelite nation had been taken off into captivity. The southern kingdom had finally fallen. Jerusalem falls, and they get taken away for a 70-year time period. While they are away, there's prophets that come along, and there's other stories that are taking place, like the book of Daniel. But then finally, there came a new person. The Babylonians were overcome by the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians were led by a guy named Darius. Now, Darius set up a system for the people to return back into their land. In fact, it was a Jewish person who had talked about how his land had been decimated, the temple had been destroyed, and they had yet to return. And so finally, Cyrus says, you know what? You guys can return. And so some waves of Jewish exile started returning back into the land and started rebuilding not just the city of Jerusalem, but more importantly, the temple that was inside Jerusalem. As they got there, this was the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, and as they were building, they came under a lot of pressure. They had pressure from people inside who were really saddened that the temple was not going to be as great and glorious as the time before. After they laid the foundation, people were weeping and wailing. Some were weeping and wailing with joy, like, yay, we're finally getting going on this. Others were weeping and wailing, saying, this is not going to be anywhere close. So a lot of infighting took place. Also, there were a lot of other countries around that were constantly putting pressure on them to stop the project. They knew history and that when Jerusalem is intact, and when there is a temple, and when God is inhabiting that temple, the Jewish people were very difficult to be stopped with military. So there was a lot of outside pressure that was constantly being put upon them. Well, what ends up happening is after receiving that pressure, they abandon the project of building the temple. The temple lays unfinished for close to 16 years. And as time has gone on, we find out that the Jewish people had kind of moved on with their lives. They had come back into the land. They were rebuilding their houses. They were rebuilding their lives. But the priority of God in their life had simply vanished. The motivation to stay connected with God had all but disappeared. And so God comes through the prophet Haggai in order to bring them back and help them understand about their unfinished business. So as we go through this, I want you to be thinking in your mind if there's things that are unfinished in your life. Now, I'm not talking your projects. Like right now in my hallway, we've been laying wood flooring. It's still unfinished. And I'm not talking about those projects. That's just more of an analogy. I'm talking more about unfinished business when it comes to things with God. Maybe it's unfinished business with a relationship that you know needs to be repaired because that's what God would want. Maybe it's unfinished business with your commitment to God. Maybe it's unfinished business to maybe a New Year's resolution that you gave back in January 1 of this year. And now we're nearing the end of the year, and maybe it's the time to relook at that. So as we examine this, I don't want us to be focused in specifically on the temple. That's just how this got applied, and this was how God's word came to them. This is not about just simply finishing the temple. A lot of pastors will dust off Haggai, especially during building campaigns, because it talks about finishing the temple. But that's really just a symptom of a much deeper issue, which is unfinished business that we have with God and the priority that we have with God. So let's take a look at this. And as we go through this, we'll be going back and relooking at some of our unfinished business. So Haggai chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. So here are the main players. They also do show up in other books. Joshua is not the Joshua that we know of the Old Testament, the sixth book of the Bible. That guy is long gone and long dead. This is Joshua. He is a high priest in this time and in this area. He figures prominently also in the book of Zechariah. So we have King Darius. He is the head of the Medes and the Persians. He's back in his place, but this is during his reign. And because of that, we're able to put it specifically at a specific day. If you want to know the date, August 29th, 520 BC. So we're thankful Haggai has some very specific markers that help us know this. So it's coming to Haggai, and he is going to speak to Zerubbabel, again, the son of Shealtiel, who's the governor of Judah. So this would be the leader, the civic leader, and then also to Joshua, who would be the religious leader. And this is what, verse 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say, the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai, is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, again, this is not something where God is this impatient God wanting the temple to be rebuilt and you better get it done as quickly as possible. This is the fact that they had been sent back into the land specifically to rebuild Jerusalem and the temple because of the importance of the worship life of the Israelite nation. And they had started it, but then had let 16 years lapse. And again, the excuses would come. It's just not time. I just don't feel like maybe we should spend time on the temple. It's going to take a lot of energy. It's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of timing. We're going to have problems inside. We're going to have problems outside. It's just too much work. That was the excuse. Year after year after year. So this is why God is saying, look, you have had enough time to spend time paneling your own house. Now, the word paneling could mean one of two things, and both of them would work well in this. One, it could mean roof. It could mean, look, the temple doesn't even have a roof yet, but you seem to be living fine with a roof over your head. Or it could also mean paneling, meaning just the finishing stuff. Like, you spend so much time focused on your own stuff, you don't even care to focus on the things of God. Again, it's not about the temple. It's about what it represents, and it also is about the priorities. The people had spent a lot of time, energy, and effort making their own lives very comfortable, very happy, but had essentially neglected anything that had to do with God. I don't know about you, but that does sound like a lot of people. It sounds like me. It sounds like you. Sure, it may not be something that happens all the time, but it is something that we struggle with because we often focus on our own needs first before we think about God. This is why when Jesus talks about our lives, he says very importantly, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these other things will be added unto you. If you have your priorities straight of God first, then other things will go well. If you don't have God first, things sometimes fall apart. And that's what Haggai is going to point out here, which again, as I read, you'll be like, this sounds eerily strange, like what's happening in our own lives. So this is what he says, verse 5. Now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. If you like to underline, that's a great phrase, give careful thought. Pay close attention. I think that one of the problems we have in America is we don't often give a lot of careful thought to things. We like to make snap decisions. We like to do things quickly. We want things done now. And we don't spend time thinking, especially when it comes to things of God. We want our answers. We want them quickly. We want God's blessings and we want it now. God is that wonderful spiritual genie. We rub a lamp and we want him to answer and fulfill our wishes quickly. He's that spiritual slot machine. We pull a lever and we want it and we want it now. He's saying, let's stop and think about this. So he's asking us to do the same thing. If your life has been crazy, maybe it's time to stop. Let's give some careful thought to some things. See what God has to say. Give careful thought to your ways. Verse 6. You have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are not warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. He's saying, is life just not quite satisfying to you? Is it something where you are looking for all the answers in everything else other than God? And if you are, it will never be enough. You will never quite get the satisfaction you're looking for. And so he says, this is what you should do. So this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought, there's that phrase again, to your ways. Go up into the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. So he says, this is going to take some effort. It's not going to be some quick and easy thing. You've got to actually go up into the mountains. You've got to chop down some trees. You've got to fashion them so that you can actually fulfill the building of the temple of God. Anything that is worthwhile is going to be difficult. Anything that is important is going to cost something. It's going to take the time and energy and effort that we often don't want to give to God. Sure, we have no problem doing it for ourselves. We have no problem spending a lot of time at work so we can advance and get a raise. We have no problem spending time so we can get good grades so that we can get a better job in the future. We have no problem spending time at the soccer field so that our kids can become a better soccer player so that they might get a scholarship later on in life. We have no problem spending time on our own houses, making sure it looks absolutely perfect. We have no problem spending money on ourselves while we give leftovers to everything else. We have no problem with this. And that's the problem. God sometimes has to stop us and say, you give a lot of energy to a lot of other things, but I get the leftovers. We do this in relationships. We do this in our work. We do this for our own self-care. We give such priority to so many things, but God doesn't seem to get anything. So do something about it. Yes, it's going to cost you something. Yes, you're going to have to plan. If you have unfinished business with God when it comes to your prayer life, it's going to cost you some time. Time to pray. If your unfinished business is growing in your faith and you just don't have the energy to study the Bible, it's going to take some energy to study the Bible. If you have a broken relationship with someone and you need to go and repair that, it's going to take things like humility. It's going to take time. It's going to take effort to reach out to somebody. If you have sin that is in your life that you need to deal with, guess what? Sometimes it ain't just going to disappear. You've actually got to work at it. You've actually got to do something about it. Go up into the woods and chop down some trees. Make a plan. Put some effort. Again, you might be thinking, will it pay off? We're going to watch as the story unfolds what happens to them back there and if they respond to it, and if they do respond, what the payoff is. So go and do this. Again, not because God is interested in big, gigantic, fancy temples. Again, it's hard for us because we live in a time and a place where God has allowed the temple to be relocated, so to speak. We are now the temples of the Holy Spirit. So God isn't interested in building programs and using this to apply to it. What he's saying here is if you've got unfinished business, if the priority of God is not high, things are not going to land well with you. And so he continues on, verse 9, you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with his own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces, on men and cattle and on the labor of your hands. So God's saying, look, because I'm not important to you, stuff is not going to go well. Now, again, this is not a one-for-one. Again, it's not a spiritual slot machine. I don't want you to be sitting there going, okay, great. I'm going to give time and energy and effort to God, and he's going to make my life perfect. No, that's not what this is saying. What this is saying is when we have our priorities set, when our business is finished with God, when we say that he is important in our lives, all of a sudden, our whole lives become reoriented and we remember what's important. Our whole thinking shifts and changes. Does it need and shift? Do you need a shift and change? Do you need to rethink some things? Is this stirring in your heart promises maybe that you made to God that have been left unfinished? Is this taking a look at your calendar and finding out how important God ranks when it comes to time commitment? Does it mean that maybe even relationships need to be reprioritized? Because maybe you care more about your kids than you do about God. It's a hard lesson. I'm sure it was a hard lesson for them to hear, and it's a hard lesson for us to hear. So the question becomes, what's our response to it? Some of us can say, you know what? If God wants a lot from me, then forget it. I don't have time. I don't have energy. I don't have any interest. That is, by all means, your choice. But you'll find out that life will never quite be as satisfying as you want it to be. But there's a better way. Let's see what happens with the people. Verse 12, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. So the idea is we hear this, and it's not supposed to cause us to clam up, to shut down, to isolate, and to hide away. Instead, it's supposed to cause us to say, okay, God, yeah, I see some things that I need to be working on. There's some things I need to address in my life. I need to rethink how things are going. And Lord, I'm sorry. And please help me. Let my priority be with you. Let there be no unfinished business. Let there be no outstanding debt except for the debt of love that I serve to other people. Instead, Lord, help me to see what I need to do. And Lord, will you help us? And will you sustain us? And will you give us the courage to follow through on it so that we don't just have unfinished, half-finished spiritual projects in our life? Again, I wish I knew exactly what the project was for you. I know what it is for me because I know my own life. But maybe this is the time for you to give careful thought. Think about what should be done. And maybe make some changes appropriately. So I love this because check out verse 13, because then this response gets, there's encouragement that comes with it. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord, message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty their God on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Now, did you miss it? End of verse 13. I am with you, declares the Lord. I don't know about you, but I think that that's a wonderful thing. I know I sometimes don't finish up projects because I feel that I just don't have the ability. I don't have the time. I don't have the resources. Sometimes I don't even feel like I have the motivation to get the thing done. And sometimes I need other people. I need people like my wife to come in, my kids, my father-in-law, to say, hey, let's finish up this project. Let's get things done. And it motivates me and it helps me to do things. That's what God is saying to you right here, right now. If you are saying, I've got some unfinished business. I've got some projects I need to work on spiritually. I need to be thinking about my prayer life or my devotion life. I need to be thinking about my relationships. I need to be thinking about those sins that are holding me back. I need to be thinking about where my priorities are. If you say today, I want to make a change, God says, I will be with you. He doesn't look at you and say, you know what? Your problem, your mess, your unfinished business, once you get your act together, then maybe I'll come. No. He does not leave you or abandon you. The only thing he requires of you is a willing spirit and faith and trust that he will be with you and will help you. So that when you get a chance to maybe confront that sin for the very first time and you say, God, please help me, that he's going to come right alongside you and give you strength. Strength to stand up under a temptation, a way out, an accountability partner. If you're like, I want to make a change in my prayer life, he's going to be with you and you're going to feel this spiritual enrichment whenever you embark on it. If you say, I need to rethink my priorities and how I spend my time, I need to rethink my relationships that maybe are drawing me away from God and instead I need to be drawn to God. All of these things are then times when God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you. Do you have any unfinished business? The people of God had unfinished business. And God said, do something about it, and I will be with you. And as they continued to wait, as they continued to seek God, eventually he sent his son Jesus, the Savior of the world, so that there would be no more unfinished business. That the business of reconciling us back to God would be done as Jesus Christ pays that in full. And he says, you will be brought to completion in the day of Jesus. So what do you need to be looking at? What do you need to be thinking about? I'm hoping God's answering that question for you right here, right now. And that maybe, just maybe, if there are unfinished projects around your house, if you've got a floor that still needs to be finished up or a back fence that still needs to be painted or a back patio that still needs to be repaired, as you take a look at that and say, I need to finish that, may it also remind you that maybe we need to finish some stuff up with God. Maybe it's stirring all these thoughts as you look over this past year and you go, wow, I really blew it. I really have some things I need to be working on. Aren't you glad that you serve a God that is not going to sit there and lecture you and berate you and tear you down? Instead, he's going to come alongside of you. He's going to encourage you and he's going to build you up so that there will be no more unfinished business. Pray with me. Father, we apologize for the things that we have done in life when you have taken a backseat, when you have not been the priority in our life, when we have been focused on so many other things, but just not you. And it's so easy to slip into that. Sometimes, Lord, we want to make changes in our life spiritually, but it's too hard, or it takes too much energy, or it's going to cost me too much. And so we just give the excuse. And sometimes, Lord, the excuse that maybe the sins that we're dealing with, that we've been dealt with for years, they've just become so ingrained in us that 16 years later, we're like, well, it's there, so what? I guess we'll just keep dealing with it. And today is the day that you are calling us and saying it's time for something to change. It's time to deal with the unfinished business. So I pray, Lord, for all of us during this time, during this pandemic, during an time when everything is turned upside down and it can be looked upon as something that is terrible and difficult, or, Lord, maybe this is the opportunity that we need to maybe rethink some things. Maybe we need to make that phone call to that person to repair a relationship. Maybe it's time we deal with our schedule and how it often draws us away from you. Maybe it's time to abandon a friendship because it's just simply destroying our relationship with you. Maybe it's time to set our alarm every day so that we have a reminder to pray. Maybe it's time for us to become serious about reading scripture. Maybe it's time for us to make a change. So thank you, Lord, that you come and you speak your words through your prophets, and that the prophet Haggai has something to say to us today. May this be a day that change happens. We love you, Lord, and we are so grateful that you have never given up on us and that you have no unfinished business. You have saved us perfectly because of Jesus Christ. You have loved us with a perfect love that surpasses all our sins. And you have a steadfastness in you that will one day draw us and bring us to heaven because of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.